Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.
This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion. Issues surrounding the use of placebos are complicated here in the U.S., but they're no easier in developing countries. For humans all around the world, there seems to be a powerful effect that comes from the suggestion and a belief in a product or a procedure. This effect can be real, it can be measured, and it can be long-lasting, and it seems to be both psychological and physiological. We've seen relief from pain, a reduction in seizures, and lowering of lab values, all from people believing that a pill or a procedure is helping them. These are all attributable to what we call a placebo effect. In many places in rural Africa, medical staff are frustrated over the few options that are available to treat people at the end of their life. Some experienced nurses give patients iron pills that are harmless while telling them that the pills will make them feel better. More often than not, the pills actually work. People do feel better, although not because of the pill's chemistry. Now, the nurse's intentions are good, even though they know the pills are ineffective, despite patients who report feeling better. But do good intentions justify the deceit? What if the patient finds out the pills are really a placebo? Ethicists would argue that deception is deception regardless of intention. The patient trusts the nurse and has confidence in her treatment. Her duty, then, is to be truthful. On the other hand, the nurse argues that she didn't really lie. She never told the patient the pill was an active treatment. Rather, she just told the patient that the pill would help him feel better, which it did. Are deception and lying, then, the same thing? Perhaps the nurse's duty to make the patient feel better is more important than her duty to always tell the truth. Of course, if the nurse was to be honest with the patient and tell him that the pill I'm about to give you really has no effect, then the placebo would have no effect. Junior doctors I discussed this with were of mixed opinion. Most felt it was dishonest, and they saw honesty as being of paramount importance. But others took a more pragmatic approach. They didn't like to lie to patients, but they felt that their duty to help patients was more important than their duty to always tell the truth. They defended the nurse by saying that so long as the patient never found out, there really was no harm done to this dying patient. They reminded us that the alternative was to offer the patient nothing. All agreed that the worst thing would be if the patient and then the community discovered the deception. Then they would lose faith in the nurse, who was a vital resource for the entire community. In this case, the use of placebos, while understandable, is probably unethical, even though they allowed the nurse to fulfill her duty to improve the well-being of the patient. This is just another situation where it's easy to find yourself between a rock and a hard place. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion.